Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. The passage we're about to hear is one of my favorites in all of Scripture. It is, in fact, the passage that John and I chose for our wedding as we pondered what sort of marriage we aspired to. It's the passage I turned to often in the months when I was away from you this winter, as we all dwelt in the wilderness of not knowing what would happen next. Indeed, Paul's whole letter to the Philippians was my constant source of hope and comfort. It's poignant that Paul wrote this letter to his most beloved congregation when he was away from them in prison, not knowing how his story would end. Indeed, Paul's words at the beginning of his letter were my constant mantra for all of you while we were apart. He wrote, "I thank God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy because of your sharing in the gospel from this day until now. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with insight to help you determine what is best, to produce the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God." That was my prayer for you as we waited, separated from one another. And we were separated, weren't we? Me waiting in self-imposed isolation, feeling passive and fearful for a time much, much longer than I ever imagined. You, the congregation, waiting in the dark, feeling disenfranchised and frustrated and voiceless. And you, the session, waiting under merciless pressure, silenced by attorneys and questioned by the church. I don't intend to dwell in the past today, but we must acknowledge honestly the wilderness we endured as a church. But this is what I see now that I could not see before. Though we all felt separated and silenced in our season of discernment and worry, at the same time, all of us were praying and waiting. All of us were waiting for Christ to guide us. And I deeply believe that Christ has guided us through this wilderness. I know that some of you are not in this place yet, but I want you to know that I feel at peace. I'm sad. I will miss you more deeply than words can say. I grieve over the funerals that I know are coming soon that I cannot lead, the weddings in the works that I cannot conduct, the babies I will not baptize, the work of mission and engagement and study and worship that I wanted to accomplish and that I leave undone. But I do feel that God has picked me up by the nape of my neck to say, it's time to go. Your call here in Lake Forest is now finished. Would I have liked the ending to be different? Yeah. And I deeply, deeply grieve with you the heartache this has caused here. And yet, And yet I utterly trust that the promises of Scripture will be fulfilled. I have no doubt that Christ, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion. And I utterly hope still that your love may overflow more and more to help you determine what is best. We have spent these last 3 months looking back. No doubt we will continue to look retrospectively in days to come. But now, in these our last moments together, I urge us to look forward, just as St. Paul urged his people. And to do so, let us turn again to the timeless words of Scripture, the words of Paul to his beloved Philippians in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Listen for the word of God. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have heeded me not only in my presence, but much more so now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you might be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out as a libation of the sacrifice and offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you must be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it may be selfish of me to do the renewal of baptismal vows with you today. It'll be a wild choreography and take a lot of time. And after all, many of you did this already once this year in January, as is our custom in the new year here. But because I was still on leave then, I missed it. I also missed Christmas Eve, so at least I'm not asking you to sing Christmas carols.
(Laughter)
But in all seriousness, it is not because I missed the renewal of baptismal vows that I long to share this with you today. Instead, today, on our last day together, I long for us to affirm the core of our faith, our identity, baptized in Christ. And as we do, I hope to leave you with three particular blessings. First, as we renew our commitment to Christ in baptism, I wish for you this blessing: that you have confidence that no matter what, you will always be God's beloved child. It is sometimes difficult, as I have discovered again, when we feel guilty or ashamed or pitiful or vengeful, it is hard to remember. But I sincerely hope you know by now that you never have to prove yourself in God's eyes. I pray you know in your deepest heart that God loves you unconditionally, utterly, as a mother loves her newborn child. God will never, ever stop loving you. If you remember nothing else, I pray that you will remember this: that you are and always will be God's beloved child. Second, as we renew our commitment to Christ, I wish for you this blessing: that you trust that you do not do this work of life alone. God gives us one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we don't stumble in isolation. I've seen this in you in so many ways. How in worship, week after week, you lift up the joys of weddings celebrated and illnesses healed and grandchildren born. How week after week, you share the concerns of jobs lost and cancer diagnosed and loved ones struggling. How behind the scenes, Stephen ministers listen and deacons bring flowers and pour coffee and prayer shawl ladies knit and the chancel guild guides weddings and funerals and the choir and rummage sorters and Bible study groups build communities that become much, much, much more than the work they do. And in all of these things, we become family to one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. I rejoice at your willingness to own this, our need for one another, especially in this, our precious bubble, where everything is always supposed to be fine, fine, fine. If you remember nothing else, I pray that you will remember this: that you are never, ever alone on this journey. And third, as we renew our commitment to Christ today, I wish for you this blessing: the aspiration to keep growing to be Christ-like. This is my deepest hope for you, and I want to share with you why it matters so much to me that you continue to grow in Christ. Let me start by saying that it's precisely because God wants us to be our best selves and knows all too well our weaknesses and limitations that God sent Jesus to model what our best humanity can be. God sent Jesus, God's own Son, to show us what it looks like to be a child of God. How, then, do we aspire to be like Christ? I love Paul's words to his beloved Philippians. He says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of that same mind, the same love. Be of full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. In other words, to aspire to be like Jesus means in our striving to seek the encouragement of Christ and consolation of love instead of chasing after money or beauty or titles, instead of racing after selfish ambition or conceit. To aspire to be like Jesus means when we're wronged, or when we're in conflict, to seek compassion and sympathy instead of exacting vengeance or throwing people under the bus or giving up and walking away. To aspire to be like Jesus means when we're at odds with each other in this church, to seek to be of the same mind with the same love in full accord instead of being so sure that we are right. To aspire to be like Jesus calls us when we're choosing our priorities to look to the interests of others instead of putting our own needs first. All of which is very ambitious, isn't it? Yet if that weren't enough, Paul presses his beloved congregation further like a coach who knows what his team can really do. He says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, humbling himself even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Let that mind be in you. That's our greatest blessing and our highest aspiration, to model ourselves on Christ's own radical humility. It is as countercultural as we could get, especially in this day and age, especially in the scene of the world and our country today. Yet to model ourselves on Christ means exactly that, humility. For most of us, thank God, it would never mean bodily martyrdom. But it does mean the willingness to lay down everything at the throne of grace, to set down anything we cherish in God's hands. To be willing to set down our ambitions, to be willing to let go of control, to be willing to put ourselves utterly, completely in God's service. This is what having the mind of Christ looks like. To be willing to set down the fortunes we could easily cling to and give ourselves away in mission and in service. This is what having the mind of Christ looks like. To be willing to let go of the desire to be the most popular church, and instead desire to be the most faithful, self-emptying, servant church. This is what having the mind of Christ looks like. And just as Christ was awarded the ultimate blessing of God, the crown of life replacing the crown of thorns, so will the victory be ours. This is my wish for you. As I set down my ministry here, I have nothing but trust that you will always be God's deeply beloved children. I have nothing but confidence that you will continue to care for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I have nothing but pride that you will continue to care for others far beyond this place. And I have nothing but hope for you. Hope that you will keep aspiring to have the mind of Christ. So as I prepare to leave you, it is fitting that I close not with my own words, but St. Paul's words to the Philippians, his most beloved congregation. This is how I feel about you. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have heeded me not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for God's own good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you might be children of God without blemish in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation in which you shine. You shine. You shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to that word of life that I can boast. I can boast that I did not labor in vain. Amen.